Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is for Schus, for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Pei Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah that's towards the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah Kosovo. If a husband wrote to his wife, and as we've learned previously, the Ritva and the Ram both point out that the halach of our Mishnah is not only if he actually wrote this, but even if he just said it, that neder ushvua enli olaich, I have no obligation to, I will not obligate you to make a neder or shvua en yachal ashbia. But he cannot. He will not force her. If the situation will come up that a shvua should be made, he cannot obligate her to make the shvua, as the Gemara will discuss. Aval, this exemption that he wrote for her is only relevant to her. Aval mashbiha es yorsheha. The yorshim, if they want to come to claim a ksuba, that means they'll claim that our mother was due a ksuba and it was never paid. The halacha is that he could say that they cannot collect that ksuba unless they make a shvua or vesban brishusa. We spoke about a woman being able to sell a ksuba. So if this woman sold a ksuba and the people who had bought the ksuba from her come now to say that we want to get a payment for. We want to get the ksuba payment? And again, that this exemption that he gave to her is not going to be valid. As we said, the Mishnah speaks about a case of kosov law where he wrote her. And we said, as we learned in the Gemara the other day, that when the Mishnah writes the word kosov law, the same din would apply if amala, if he said to her. And because of that, the Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim, the Achronim, asks, why did the Mishnah use the word Kosov if he meant Loshon, if he meant Kosov? So the Pnei Yeshua answers that the halacha is that even if it's Omar, even if we're going to say that saying is adequate, the halacha still requires that there should be a kinyan. That strengthens this obligation. And since the halacha requires a kinyan, the Omar, even if it was just a verbal statement, but it was coupled with a kinyan, that's why it's considered like kosav. Another pshat that I saw is that normally, when it comes to the chiv ksuba, since the chiv ksuba always requires a kinyan, that's why it has to say the words kosav. Another pshat is that even though Omar is enough, the Afla makes this point, even if we say that Omar is enough, what we're going to have, however, is that the husband agrees that he said it. If the husband doesn't agree that he said it, then it wouldn't be adequate. So the word kosov comes to show how it has to be very, very believable. However, if the husband wrote her, neder shvua ein li olayich v'yoshayich, so he included in his exemption not only the woman herself, but her yarshim and the people who might have bought the ksuba from her. Then the halacha is any yachal ashbia, he can't make her swear lohi v'lo yashar v'lo yasbon b'shusay. Av yarshav, the exception that he gave only is for himself. But if the ksuba is not going to be paid by him himself, if the ksuba is going to be paid by the people who will inherit him, then the halacha is mashbin oisav es yorsheha. They can make her or her yorshim swear, and certainly that's a barn brishusa. And the way Rashi explains is that what happened is that she got divorced. So the moment they got divorced, he was obligated to pay her a ksuba. But then her husband, and then she passed away before she could ever collect the ksuba. So in that case, she doesn't get the ksuba, she's no longer alive. Her yashim do get the ksuba, And there the halach is that the father cannot make them swear that they did not, that the mother did not get paid the ksuba. But if the husband is no longer alive and now they're coming to collect the ksuba from his children, from his yarshim, then the halach is they would have to swear to them. If, however, he said, Nedeshvu enli leave v'loy l'yarshay v'loy l'bar m'shosay v'loy bar m'shusay alayich v'yosheich v'abar m'shusayich eino yachal ashbiyah loy hu v'loy yarshav v'loy abar m'shusay loy oysa v'loy s'yarshav v'loy bar m'shusay. When he made such an all-encompassing statement, they're all excluded. Says the Mishnah, Halchem ikevabela l'beis aviyah. If we have a woman who the husband exempted her from a shvua, not only towards him, but even towards those that are his yarshim. And then if she left her father, the husband's home, after he passed away, mikevabala, she went lebeis aviyah, back home to where she came from, to her family, or she chaz lebeis chamia, she did go back to where she was living with her husband. However, she is not in any way appointed an apotropos, an administrator over her husband's assets. The fact that she might have been active, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, in his kvura and in the expenses of his kvura, that we don't make her swear. Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, if we're going to make a person swear on any expenditures that they had in taking care of his kfura, that will prevent them from properly being involved with the kfura, which of course is a situation that we don't have. However, if after the husband passed away, she went back to the husband's home, and not only is she in the husband's home, but she's now the administrator of his assets, Hayarshim Masbina saw the Yarshim can make a swear ala asalavai what she did with all those assets. Any exemption that we've been studying in our Mishnah that the husband gave her would not be valid for this, because at this point the assets don't belong to the husband. The assets belongs to them. And they never gave her an exemption. The father's exemption cannot be valid for them, and therefore v'emesh b'inasa. But they cannot make a swear amasha over that what she did while the husband was alive. Certainly, they can, that exemption that the father, that the husband gave them, is acceptable. And the way, so as we learned, Rashi is explaining the Mishnah, that it's talking about a case that even though the husband had written an exemption to all of, for him and for his family members, the exemption cannot be helpful for anything that will happen after he passes away. However, the Arishonim that was speaking about, that if the husband had written such an exemption, that exemption would be helpful not only for what happened while he was alive, but it would be helpful even for after he passed away, even for what she did after he passed away. Rather, our Mishnah is speaking about a woman that did not have this exemption. And the Mishnah is teaching us that there's a difference what she did in spending money for the kfura that we explained, and we'll explain in Mishnah again in the Gemara, that there is no obligation. One cannot make his wife swear for that versus what happened after the kvura. But ask the Gemara, we keep on speaking about the husband giving her exemption. Ask the Gemara, shvua maya vedita, why, what kind of shvua would she have to make that he's giving her an exemption? Says the Gemara, Amar Behuda Marav, ala patropish nasis b'chaya bala. If her husband appointed her to be an administrator over his assets while he was alive, and now she's coming to collect the ksuba, so the halacha is that she has to make a shvua that she did not hold back, that she did not take any of his assets to pay for the ksuba. This exemption excludes her from having to make that shvua. But if she's going to be a pegemis ksubasa, which is going to be the subject of the next Mishnah, that we're going to learn that then she does have to make a shvua, this exemption doesn't exempt her. And the reason is, as we're going to learn, a pegemis ksuba is a woman who took payment for the ksuba. That's a whole new category. And even though the husband gave her this exemption, it would not be helpful for that. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, says, al pegemis ksubasa, that even if a woman is a pegemis ksubasa, that we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, would have to swear. Here, once the husband gave her an exemption, the halach is that even for that situation, she wouldn't have to swear. And as Rashi explains, the reason if she's an apotropis, she doesn't have to swear, is because he's the one that appointed her to be the apotropis. So what's really happening, as the way I understand Rashi, is that he's the one that made her apotropis. She agreed to take on that responsibility. So she says, I'm willing to be the apotropis of your assets, but I'm not willing to take on that responsibility if the price of taking on that responsibility will be that I have to make a shvua. But pegemis ksubasa, she created that situation. Since she created the situation, she can't say that when you exempted me, you exempted me from that as well. That wasn't something that he caused. She caused it. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Rashba explains the Gemara somewhat differently. Rashba explains that when somebody is an apotropis, there's no specific definitive reason to assume that she took money that she wasn't entitled to. So the entire Chiyuv Shvua is a weaker Chiyuv Shvua. Whereas when somebody is a Begems Ksubasa, so she already took some of the Ksuba. That's why his claim against her is a stronger claim, and the Chiyuv Shvua is a stronger Chiyuv Ksuba. We just had in our Gemara a Machloikas. What's going to be the halacha if an exemption was written? Everybody agreed that if the husband gave her an exemption, she's not going to have to make a shvua if she was an apotropis. We had a machloikis if she would have to make a shvua if she was a begemis ksubasa. But what about a situation where an eid echad comes that she already got a ksuba payment and she counterclaims that she did not get a ksuba payment? There explains the Ravid that everybody would agree that the exemption wouldn't help. Because since there's an echad that's causing her to make the shvua, that wasn't what he meant when he gave an exemption. However, the Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says that the same machlokes that we have when an exemption was written, but she turns out to be a pegemis, what if she has to make a shvua or not, the same halacha would apply that if the husband gave her an exemption, and that Eid Echad is claiming that she already got a ksuba payment, according to Rabbi Yehuda Marav, she would have to make a shvua, but according to Rav Nachman, she would not have to make a ksuba. Says the Gemara, Azor Ramotcha Amal Shmatz Kameid Rav Ashi. Ramotcha went and repeated this halacha to Rav Ashi. And he said, Bishlam Alamand Amar Pegemis Ksubasa, according to the Manda Amar, that the halacha that we're speaking about, that the exemption is valid, even upon Pegemis Ksubasa. So says the Gemara, the Maska Adat Dima Mitzvah Lizuzi, there is a real possibility that I may need money, Vishikonam Ksubasa, and I'm going to take money from my Ksuba in case I need money for myself. Vamralai, and that's why she says to the husband, if that situation will come up, that I will need to take money from my ksuba, I want you to give me an exemption that you won't make me swear. Elman, according to Rabbi Yehuda Marav, apotropis nas b'chayi b'alo, that the shvu is referring, that if the husband
made her an administrator. She can make him make an exemption. Ask the Gemara. This shvua, this it was written as they got married. Imi have yodos the masla betrapa. As they got married, why would she think that the husband's going to appoint her an apotropos that she should demand from him an exemption? Damar like soivli blemish batali that she would be able to demand. I don't want to have to swear. She realizes that during the course of the marriage, she may need money and ask for that exemption. But there's no reason to believe that she's going to become the apotropos. Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded her matra, Atun, you who asked this question, Ahumas Nisanlai, you learned what Rav said regarding the ratio of the Mishnah. Ano Ahumas Nisanlai. I learned this discussion that we started the Gemara with regarding the din, the rule that we learned at the end of the Mishnah, which you learned at the end of the Mishnah. Hoch mikava balal beis aviyah. If after the husband passed away, she went back to her home, or she went back to her home where she lived with her husband, the father's home, as we learn often, they lived in the home of his parents. But she was never appointed an apotropos. And a yashim has been a say. Then the yashim can make a swear. But if she became an apotropos on her husband's estate after he passed away, Yarshim has been asoy al osa lavoy. They can make a swear on what's going to happen on any money that she spent after the husband passed away. The way she administered his money, they has been asoy al shava. But they can't make a swear on what was. Ask the Gemara, as shavar by avidite. Why would they be able to make a swear on what was at that point? Those assets weren't hers, theirs, that they have any claim that they can make a shvua. That answers the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Marav, what we're speaking about here is apotropos shenasa b'chayei baal. She became an apotropos while her husband was alive. And the husband had exempted her from making that shvua. Ava be'mesil kfura. But what happened between the misa and the kfura, because the husband's exemption can no longer be effective. He's not alive. Even what she spent, we don't make a swear, because says the Gemara Nudin, the Ami Nahadoa, Nahadoa says, Lakarga, to pay off the estate tax, that or any tax that has to be paid, ulamazoni, that the woman is taking food money to buy food for herself and for her children for the assignment, ulakfura, or to spend money for the kfura, must be in balayachrasta. Even though normally throughout Shas, the halacha is that assets that belong to Yosem may not be sold without Achroza. Achroza means that we make a public bidding system to make sure that they get the best price. Here, we're speaking about a situation of a kfura, and we don't want to have to be busy with trying to get the best price for everything. We're worried about Bezoy and Hames. And if here we're going to make a shvua, it's going to delay the kfura. It's going to require that she is going to have to be busy making sure that she kept very clear records and made the best decisions. And therefore, it's a bezoyin hames. And because of bezoyin hames, that the woman is not made to make a shvua. So we had here machlokes. What's the halacha b'meisel kfura? And the Rosh makes a very interesting observation. According to the first opinion, is not only that we do make a shvua what happened b'meisel kfura. Let's say the only thing she spent money on that time was on the kfura. Says the Rosh, the first opinion that disagrees with Ramasna will hold that if the halacha is that you have to swear, then you have to swear for the expenditures that she made for the kfura. So Rashi explained that if there's an obligation to pay the tax on the assets, the estate that belongs to the assignment, Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that karga means karga shalisha, the woman's estate tax bill. And Tosfos explains that it is the husband's obligation to pay his wife's tax bill, and explains that that's included in what we often discuss in our shurim, the chiyuv mezoinus, the chiyuv that a husband has to support his wife. And Tosfos explains that what our Gemara means to say is that that expense is something that she's entitled to, not only entitled to from the husband, but if the husband wrote an exemption, she doesn't have to swear to the children either. Tosfos explains that what's a mean kvura? That certainly if the father did not have a makam kvura, and we have to sell off his property to buy a makam kever, to buy a burial spot for him, we do so without a achraza. We just sell it in order that he should be able to be buried as quickly as possible. But Tosfos says that we're speaking here that she borrowed money to make the levaya, and now they have to pay back to the people who they borrowed money. And Tosfos says what the Gemara is teaching us is that normally when we pay off from the assets, from the estate of the Yesoimim, we always have to pay off. Nobody gets paid without a shvua. Here the halacha will be that the people, the loiva who comes to the malva who comes to collect that money will be allowed to be paid without a shvua. And the way the Rishonim explained that Nadoi wanted that these people who lent money for the levaya should be repaid without delay. And the reason is that if people who lend money to help other people make a levaya will be delayed, and we told, well, you have to pay, you have to make a shvua, in the next time when there's going to be a levaya, and there are going to be people who are prepared to lend money to help people make a levaya, but they're going to be told, well, you won't be able to collect your money without a shvua, they're going to be reluctant to want to help. And of course, that's not a situation that we want to see. So therefore, the Chazal said that you don't have to pay, they don't have to make a shvua to get their money. It's interesting that on this subject, we learned earlier on that pay dalid that the Gemara said that a husband who inherits in a family burial prat from his wife has to give that back to his wife's family when Yovel comes, and if the family wants to buy it back, they have a right to claim that they want it back. Of course, they'll have to pay if it's not Yovel. And the Gemara explained the reason was because of Pekah Mishpacha, that it's humiliating for the family to have his family, her family's burial plot that she inherited, that now is going to him, and he'll start having his family buried in their family plot. It's humiliating to them to have different people buried in their family plot. The Reb Moshe was asked whether it's permitted for a family to take out somebody who was buried somewhere in order to rebury him in a family plot, in a newly purchased family plot. Reb Moshe quotes this Gemara that says it's an honor that the person who passed away not to be buried with his family, but especially in his ancestors, but especially important to be buried with his children. So he therefore says that under normal circumstances, he would not agree to exhume a body for this purpose. But if a situation where family wants to take out a body to bury it next to his children, there is place to be lenient. Am Rabba Am Rabchia, the loy neder the loy shvua. If the husband wrote to the wife this type of language, the loy neder the loy shvua, who any yochel ashbia, that's an exemption that says that he can make a swear of a yarshim ashbin isa. His yarshim can make a swear. However, if he wrote a language of naki neder naki shvua, then the halach is bein hu bein yarshim, not he nor his family to make him make a swear. Dachikamer. What he meant to say with this language, what he meant to say to her, Menakas Meshvuas, you are exempt from any type of Shvua. Rav Yosef Rav Chia, Deloy Neder Deloy Shvua, if he wrote the words Deloy Neder Deloy Shvua, then the halacha is Hueni Yochel Ashbia Ava Yarshim Ashbia Asai. But if he wrote the words Noki Neder Noki Shvua, Bein Hu Bein Yarshim Mashbina Asai. Because when he wrote this language, what he meant to say was, Naki Nafshech, the way you will be exempt, that if there'll be any accusations from you, the way you'll be exempt from those accusations is b'shvuasa, by making a shvua. Amram Nachman, Amma Shmuel, Sholach Le Rav Zakeh Umakva, Bein Deloy Shvua, Bein the Noki Shvua, Bein Deloy Nader, Bein the Noki Nader, B'nichsei, if he added the word B'nichsei, then the halacha is, Hu Eni Yochel Ashbia, he can't make a swear, Avayarshim, because what he said was, as long as these assets belong to me, so I'm exempting you from a shvua. But when they don't belong to me, when they belong to my yarshim, I'm not exempting you. But if he didn't connect the shvua to the ownership, but he connected the shvua to the assets, what he said was, Menichse Eilin. He said, from these assets, you won't have to make a shvua. Then the halacha is Ben Hu Ben Yarshav. Whether he used the words bein deloy shvua, whether he used the words anoki shvua, bein deloy neder, bein anoki neder, bein menichse eilin, no matter what the wording was and whether he connected to his ownership or to the assets, bein hu bein yarshav, ein mashbin oisai. And my opinion is that in these situations nobody could make a swear. Avama esa. But what should I do? She'amr chachamim, Chazal taught us that haba lifrei menichse yisaimim, if somebody wants to collect from yisaimim, la yifra ela b'shvua. In other words, the way the Rishonim explained, that even though he was very clear that his intention was to completely exempt her from a shvua, the halacha is that Chazal taught us haba lifrei menichse yisaimim, if somebody who comes to collect money from Yisoymim, the halacha is la yifra ela b'shvua. They can only collect money from Yisoymim, with a shvua. That is a takanas chachamim. And what Rav Nachman meant to say was that once there was a takanas chachamim in place, the husband's exemption cannot override the husband's exemption cannot override the takanas chachamim. Vikadam lemasnisen. Some say that this was taught in a brisa. That Rabbi Shoba Miriam Omar bein deloy shvua, bein the noki shvua, bein deloy neder, bein noki neder, bein menichse, bein menichse ilin, bein hu bein yarshav, ein mashbin oisop, as is the halach as it seems from our Mishnah. Here, the halach is that if she comes to collect from the Yisoymim, she has to make a shvua, but if she's not collecting from the Yisoymim, all of these wordings are wording that clearly indicate that she will not have to make a shvua. So we mentioned earlier in our shir, Habegemes Ksubasa, and the Mishnah soon will define what Habegemes Ksubasa is. The halacha is Habegemes Ksubasa by Tifra El Bishvua. Has to make a Shvua. Why, ask the Chedushei Rim, does our Mishnah speak about the case of Habegemes Ksubasa? The halacha is that any shtar that she says was partially played, she has to make a Shvua. Says the Chedushei Rim, that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that pagemis ksubasa, the halach is that not only does she have to make a shvua, but until she makes a shvua, the halach is that she can't even collect, as we often discussed in our Masechta. There's the basic ksuba, the mana, when the woman who got married was not a psula. The masayim, when she got married, she was a psula. If she's a pagemis, she doesn't even collect the basic suba unless she makes the shvua. Says the Gemara, Erecha Me'ida Shipurah. If there's an Erecha that comes and says that the Ksuba was already paid off, like Tifer El B'Shvua, here too, she cannot collect the Ksuba only with a Shvua. Menichsi Yisayimim, if she wants to collect the Ksuba from assets that belong already to the Yisayimim, the various examples that we gave earlier in the Masech, in the Mishnah, in the Shir, Menchasim, Meshabadim, where he had sold off, the husband had sold off his assets. And since the husband had sold off his assets, all his assets, all of his property are mortgaged to the Ksuba. And if he didn't leave over any money, then she could go after those in the Chasim Shabadim, or Shalai Bafanov, he's not here, and she's collecting a Ksuba. In all these cases, Letifra El B'Shvua, she has to pay with a Shvua. So the reason when she collects in the Chasim Shabadim, she has to make a Shvua, because the halacha is that whenever somebody collects from the Chasim Shabadim, they collect with a Shvua, and this is no different. Habegemes Ksubasa, if the Mishnah began with the case of Habegemes Ksubasa, ask the Mishnah Ketzad, exactly what is the situation of Habegemes Ksubasa, Ketzad. Hoysa Ksubasa Elv Zuz, if the value of a Ksuba was 1,000 Zuz, and the Rishonim all explain that why did the Mishnah give us an example of Elv Zuz? Because if the Ksuba is Elv Zuz, it's certainly a situation of Tosfos Ksuba, that it's a much more than the Ksuba was. And the Mishnah is teaching us that a woman is Pegemis, even if she's Pegemis in the portion of the Tosfos Ksuba, she's considered a Pegemis Ksubasa, that she falls into the category of a Pegemis Ksubasa. A Pegemis Hoysa Ksubasa Elv Zuz, Vamala Ksubalta Kol Ksubasaich, you already received the Ksuba payment. Via Meris, Lois Ksubalti Elamona, I only received 100 of the 1,000. The halacha is, that now that she admitted, the Gemara will right away pick up on this, right, that she admitted that she paid off part of the Ksuba, the halacha is, Lois Tifra El B'Shvua, she could only collect the balance with a Shvua. The next case of the Mishnah was, that Eidecha Me'idah She Perua, there's an Eid Echad that says that the Ksuba was paid off. She could only collect with a Shvua. And again, explains the Mishnah. Ketzat, exactly what does that mean? Not Hoysa Ksubasa Elv Zuz. The Ksuba was 1,000 Zuz. Vamalai Skbalta Ksubasaich. And the husband says, you collected your Ksuba. V'yai Maris, and she says, Lois Kabalti, I didn't receive my Ksuba. V'erecha me'idah shipurua, and there's an erecha that says that she did get paid. The halacha is, Lois Tifra El B'Shvua. The halacha is that she gets the Ksuba. So here, the Rishonim point out that the reason she has to make a Shvua is because there's a definite disagreement between her and her husband. But in a case that even though the Eid Echad is saying that you got paid partially, but there's no disagreement on that, the halacha is that the part that there's no disagreement on, she would not have to swear. Menachasim Shabbatim Ketzat, Macha Nechasim Lachroi, he sold off all of his assets, and therefore when it comes to pay the Ksuba, he doesn't have any availability to pay off the Ksuba. So the only way that she could collect the Ksuba is go back to people who had bought those assets in his lifetime. The halacha is, Macha Nechasol Acherim, Fi Nefras Melekuchas, and the halacha is that she collects from those Lekuchas, Leitifra Ela B'Shvua, the halacha is that she collects from, only from the, with a Shvua. But I saw a very interesting Machloikas Achroinim. What would be if the husband does have assets to be able to pay off her Ksuba? But she's not the one that the husband owes money to. The husband owes money to other. The husband owes money also to other people. And now, by her collecting the Ksuba from his assets, those people will not be able to get the money that she is, that they are owed, because she's going after that money. What would be the halacha? Does she get to take that money without a shvua, or does she not? So the halacha is that that the halacha is that she could get that money without a shvuah, because she's not going after the lekuchas in this case. She's going after the people to whom she's going after her husband, and the assets are by her husband. Since the assets are currently by the husband, she has a right to collect those assets without a shvuah. There are those that disagree, and there are those that take the opinion that since she's collecting that from at the expense of those other people, this that she's collecting now is at the expense of other people. So since what she's collecting is at the expense of other people, the halacha is that she will not be allowed to get those assets without making a shvuah. Continues the Mishnah. V'shloi b'fonav. The next example was shloi b'fonav. Asked the Mishnah, what does that mean? Ketzad. Halach loy l'medina seyam. The husband went overseas. V'hin the fras shloi b'fonav. And she going to collect the ksuba because he's not here. Ein the fras el b'shvuah. So Rambam explains that the Mishnah speaking specifically in a case that he went very far away. And therefore, since he went very far away, and she doesn't want to wait until he comes back, or she doesn't know when he's going to come back, the halacha is she could collect only b'shvuah. But if he did not travel to such a far distance, and he's coming back soon, the halacha is she has to wait to collect the ksuba till when he's here. The Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says it doesn't depend on distance. The Rosh says it depends for how long he's going to be away. And the Rosh says if he's going to be away for longer than 30 days, the halacha is she doesn't have to make, the halacha will be that she could collect and make a shvua. Shimon Ami Kozman Shitavas Ksubasa, whenever she coming to collect the ksuba, we will discuss this extensively in our next shir. Kozman she took of ask subasa, whenever she's coming to collect the ksuba, hayarshim ashbinasoi, the yarshim can make a swear. Vim ena tavask subasa, but if she's not coming to collect the ksuba, then a yarshim ashbinasoi, they can make a swear. What this means, we'll see in the Gemara. Begins the Gemara, Savi Rami Becham Lameima, Shvua Daraisa, that when a woman is bekemis ksubasa, when the woman says she got paid back part of the ksuba, then the halacha that she has to swear that we learned in the Mishnah is a chiyuv deraisa. The katan masayim, in other words, what is the example that he asked, that he says, the husband says, I paid you off the entire ksuba, the kamay de la b'meya, and she says that I only received a partial payment, 100 of the 200. The halacha is havel hadav mixes. So this is considered a situation of Moedim Amixis Ataina. And we've learned many times that one of the situations of Moedim Amixis is that you have to make a Shvu D'Raisa. So what's the Nafgamina if it's a Shvu D'Raisa or Shvu D'Rabbanon? So Rashi explains the Nafgamina is that by Shvu D'Raisa, under certain circumstances, you could turn around the Shvuah. And if the person who's supposed to make the Shvuah can't make it, we make the other party make a shvuah. Here, we can't turn around. If it's a shvuah d'rabbanon, by shvuah d'rabbanon, we could do so, not by shvuah d'raisa. And if we're going to learn that this is a shvuah d'raisa, ma'idim mixes, we can't turn it around. Amarava, chei chuvas bedava. There are two reasons why to say that this is not a shvuah d'raisa. It's not a situation of a ma'idim mixes. Chada, the kol nishbayin b'tayra. Normally, when a shvuah is made in the Torah, nishbayin v'lay m'shalmim. A moida d'alocha is that by making the shvua, you make the shvua and you're exempt from paying. V'hi, and here, the purpose of making the shvua is nishbas v'notelas, in order to make a shvua and be able to collect what she says is owed to her. And void, and furthermore, we know that the ksuba payment is connected to the husband's real estate holdings, and we know that d'alocha is ein nishban al Kavira Shibut Karkas. You don't make a shvua on something which is connected to real estate. So, of course, the Rishonim ask, what was the Havamina? We all know that the shvua deraisa nishban v'lo mishpalmim, and here's for nishbo v'noy tell us. So, why would we think that it should be considered a Shvu'a Deraisa. So Ritva says that what Rami Bar Chama meant to say was that the Rami Bar Chama never meant to say that it's a real Shvu'a Moed Mamixis. What he meant to say was that it's similar to the Shvu'a Moed Mamixis, but not that it's exactly a Shvu'a Moed Mamixis. The Rant says the halacha is that normally, where do we know the halacha is Nishbar and V'loy Mishalmim? Because the pasuk says V'loy Yishalmim. Misha Olav L'shalmim, the person who would normally have to pay is Shvua. And he'll make the Shvua and he won't have to pay. Rami Bar Chama says that the words Lo Yishalim in the Pasuk are not Dafka. And doesn't mean that the only time a Shvua is made with the Raisa is Nishbon V'loy Nishalmim. The Rashba has a different approach. The Rashba says that we're looking at the Mishnah as the woman as being the Taveya, and the woman as the Netfas. But as the husband being the Taveya, and the woman being the Netfas. Rami Bar Chama looks at it the other way, as if the husband is making a claim from the wife, and therefore it is a case of Nishbon V'loy Mishalmim. Also, the next question the Rishonim ask, if we're saying that all Shvu'a D'Oraisa is not on Shibud Karkos, so why did Rami Bar Chama over here say that she swear a ksubas shiva kakos? So he says that according to Ritva, it's not a question. Because Ritva says that Rami Bar Chama never meant to make it into a shvua deraisa. Another pshat that the Ran says that even though a person's real estate is meshubed, is obligated to his ksuba, but says the Ran, that doesn't mean you have to get paid from karka. What it means to say is that his real estate is meshubah to the ksuba, but not that you have to pay from karka. When the Gemara says that there's no shvua on karka, that means when you're coming to collect real estate. Here she's not coming to collect real estate. She's coming to collect her ksuba. When she's coming to collect the ksuba, that is not considered a case that she's of a shiva kakash. El Amarava, the Shvu'a V'am Mishnah is the Rabbanan. The Para, because the halacha is, the person who paid out the ksuba, that's the husband, Dayik, was very careful to make sure how much they received. However, the Mifra, the wife who's collecting, Loy Dayik, is not so careful. Rama Rabbanan Shvu'a, and that's why Chazal said she should make a Shvu'a, Kehecha the Dayik, that she should be careful to make sure how much she really got paid. Ibailhu pegems ksubas ve'edim. The woman says that she got partial payment, but she says that she got the partial payment in front of edim. Mahu, does she consider pegems that or not? Vim isa the para, because can we say that if she collected part of it in front of edim, then he would have been careful that the rest made them have a parallel. He would be careful to pay her in front of Adam. And the fact that he can't produce Adam, that he paid the balance, it's a proof that he didn't pay the balance. Oy Dilma, the reason he paid the first time in front of Adam was because of Srumi Estramula, that happened to be Adam. Not that he went out of the way to look for Adam, that the halacha is that why didn't he pay it without Adam? Tashma, Kalan is born by Tyra. In the normal cases, when the Torah mandates a shvua, the halacha is nishbar and v'loy mishalmim. You make a shvua and you're exempt from having to have to pay. However, elav nishbar and v'noitlim. Who are the people that make a shvua and collect what they say is owed to them? Hasachar, somebody, a worker who's claiming that I want my salary. Hanigzal, somebody who was stolen from. The halacha is that if he took partial payment, if somebody saw somebody else go into somebody else's house and he went out with the person's kalim, and we don't know exactly what he took, the halacha is that the Baal Bais has to swear that he didn't sell these kalim to this person, and then he could collect whatever he says was stolen from him. Hanechbo, if somebody went into somebody's house healthy and he walked out wounded, and he says that the owner of that home hurt him, and the owner disagrees, the halacha is that the person who was hurt makes a shvua that this person hurt him, and he collects the shvua. V'shekenegdoi chashal shvua. If the person who is supposed to make the shvua, the person who there's a claim against, who's supposed to make the shvua, is a person who's chashal shvua, is not trusted, so we have the other party make the shvua. V'chamvani al puchasai, a storekeeper who sold on credit, and the owner of a business tells the storekeeper, give my workers what they need, and then I'll pay you. And the storekeeper says, you owe me money. There are no edim that support his claim, that he paid off part of the claim. Why do we see shloi be edim? When there weren't edim, that's when you have to make a shvuah. Be edim, if there were edim, lo, you wouldn't have to make a shvuah. Isn't that an answer to our question? Says the Gemara, no. The way to understand it is as follows. Lo mi bai kama. Lo mi bai be edim. Certainly, if there was edim to what she took, the vade tzrich a shvuah. That she can't deny what the edim are backing up. And therefore, what the Edom are saying, and therefore she can't be trusted on the rest. There's no Edom. So she could say, I didn't have to tell you, admit that I got anything. And therefore, the fact that I admitted that I got something shouldn't that be considered a proof that I'm honest? Vatishkol, and therefore I should be considered a Vatishkol b'lo shvur, kamash malon. And the way the Rishbar explains this Gemara. Even though every Maidu Amixis can be considered a Mesha Aveda, but we learned the Maidu Amixis is different. But a Maidu Amixis is a person who's saying that I got. A Maidu Amixis is a person who borrowed money, and that's why they're embarrassed. A woman is not that way. Says the Gemara, asks the Gemara another question. She said that she collected the Ksuba very small amount at a time. She gives a very clear calculation of what she received. Mahu, will she have to make a shvua? Mimrin kivin the daika kolahai. We see that this woman was so careful. Kush the kamra. It's a proof that what she said is true. Adama rumi kamarama. It's all part of the game that she's playing. Ebailahu, another teiku. The Gemara doesn't answer. Ebailah pecheses ksubasa. If a ksuba was 1,000 zuz, and the husband agrees that the ksuba said 1,000 zuz, but he says I paid it off entirely, and she says that I didn't receive anything, but she does admit that even though the ksuba says this large amount, the real obligation was for much less. It wasn't for 1,000, it was for 100. Mi aminin pegemis. That's the same as a pegemis, and she should have to make a shvua. Duma, pegemis is a maid of a mixus. She says she received partial payment. Ha, like a maid of a mixus. She's not admitting that she got partial payment. Tashma, pechesis tifra shloi b'shvua. Kate said, ha'isik subasa elav zuz. V'amalois kabalti ksubasa. The husband says, you received your ksuba. V'yameris lois kabalti. I did not receive my ksuba. However, I am admitting that even though the ksuba says 1,000, the value, the only amount you obligated yourself was to a mana, that you only obligated to 100. The frash lebishvur, says the Gemara, how could she collect? But my gavya, what is the strength of her collection? But haishtara, with this document, but ask the Gemara, haishtara chaspa ba'amahu, because she's admitting that the shtar is inaccurate. The shtar says 1,000, and the ksuba is really only 100. Amar Rav Breid Rabbanan, by meres, that the shtar was written properly. And the shtar says 1,000, and that is a good shtar. She says, he and I made a deal between ourselves that I won't ask for more than 100. So she's not saying that the shtar is worthless, and that's why the halacha is, it's not considered like a pegemis, and she doesn't have to make a shvuah.